ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 28 एको महिहा भगवान विविधा प्रदनास प्रदनाइस एको महिना भगवान विदिता प्रदिनाइस
एको महिना भगवान विदिता प्रदिनाइस
चिटी कृता भजनानया कथम नु युगम चिति कृता भजनाना कृतम नु युगम अर्थगतास तनु बृहम मनसो अपि दुरात अत्र गतास तनु बृतम मनसो अपि दुरात ब्रुता प्रसिदाता महान विश्वमयोमी ब्रुता प्रसिदाता महान हिहो विश्वमयोमी एको महिया भगवान विदिदा प्रदनैस को महिया भगवान विदिता प्रदिनाइ चिटी कृता भजननाय कथम नुयम चिटी कृता प्रजनय कथम नुयम अर्थगतास्तानुभृतं मनसोऽपि दुरात् अर्थगतास्तानुभृतं मनसोऽपि दुरात् ब्रूत प्रसिद्धता महान् इहो विषमयोमि ब्रूत प्रसिद्धता महान् इहो विस्मयेमि एका वन माया बाय मी इहा यर भगवान ग्रेट पर्सनालिटी विविधा वेरियस प्रदनाय बाय पैराफर्नेलिया चिटिकृता फिक्स्ड इन माइंड प्रजननया For begetting a child. Khatam. Why? New. However. Uyam. All of you. Atra. Year. Agata. Appeared. Tanu Britam. Half the embodied. Manasa. The mind. Api. Although. Durat. Far from behind. Bruta. Kindly explain. Prasidata. Being merciful to me. Mahan. Very great. Iha. This. Vishmaya. Doubt. Me. Of mine. Translation by His Divine Grace. I called for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, desiring a son like him, and I thought of him only. But although he is far beyond the material speculation of man, all three of you have come here. Kindly let me know how you have come, for I am greatly bewildered about this. So we'll repeat the translation. I called for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, desiring a son like him, and I thought of him only.
But
although he is far beyond
the mental speculation of man,
all three of you
have come here.
Kindly let me know
how you have come.
For
I am greatly bewildered about this.
A very short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Atri Muni was confidently aware that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of the universe. So he prayed for the Supreme Lord. He was surprised, therefore, that three of them appeared. Om Agyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamani Tadati Swabhava Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadhu Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So today is a very, very auspicious day because it's appearance of two personalities. Right? One is the Supreme Lord himself, right, as Vamana incarnation, and the other one is the appearance day of Sri Jiva Goswami. So what we do is, we direct the topic, right, to these two persons, you know, Vamana Dev and Jiva Goswami, okay? And we will benefit from today. Okay? So now, this pastime of Vamana Dev appears in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone has read it before? Read it, okay. Good. Now what happened was, after the churning of the ocean, right, between the demons and the demigods, the nectar came, right? And the Supreme Lord was partial in giving the nectar to the demigods, right? He was favoring the demigod, and because of this, the demigods became powerful, more powerful than the demons. Okay, now the demons, they did not like it. Obviously, you know. See, in the material world, what happens is there is always, you know, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, everything is there. And in the pastime of the churning of the ocean, also. You know, the reason they wanted to churn the ocean of milk was to get the nectar. But what came in the beginning? Poison. So material world, you always get what something you don't want it. Right? You will not get whatever you want. You may think that you want it, but you get the negative first. That is how it works. Right? So the demons, they were not very happy. Right? How can the Supreme Lord, his favoring the demigods, right? So they wanted to fight with the demigods. Right? But obviously, because the demigods were favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, obviously they won the battle, right? Now in the battle, see, the demigods are headed by Indra and the demons are headed by, at this point, Bali Maharaj. Right? He is the king of the demons and Indra is the king of the demons. So both they were fighting. Now, during the battle, Indra threw a thunderbolt on Bali Maharaj. And he chopped off his head and he killed him. Bali Maharaj was killed, practically killed. Then, what happened? Sukracharya, the spiritual master of the demons, is very powerful. He revived the entire demons, you know. The whole community, you know, whoever was killed, whoever's hand was cut, you know, he made a plastic surgery. Gone. Head was cut, one more plastic surgery.
But the thing is, with the current system, you cannot do plastic surgery when the head is cut. Right? But Shukracharya did that. Nose is cut, finish. One more new nose. Ear is cut, one more new. Like that, you know. And not only that, Shukracharya was able to revive Bali Maharaj. Actually, he was dead practically. He's able to revive. Life was brought back to him. Now, because of this, Bali Maharaj was highly dedicated to his, as such, you know, he's a very noble personality, he was dedicated. And to add on to that, he became very sincere to his guru. Guru Maharaj, because, you know, he was serving, he gave life to him. So in the same way, we should think that our guru has also given life. What life has he given? Material life? Spiritual life. So he has given spiritual life. He has given us a new birth. So when you take initiation, right, the spiritual master gives you a new name. That's like a birth. It's a new name. Means when you're born, you're given a name, right? So in the same way, spiritually when you're born, he gives you a new name. So he gives you a birth, spiritual master. So one should be very much inclined or indebted to spiritual master. Right? So because of this, Bali Maharaj was so much, you know, indebted to his Guru Maharaj, he was very nicely serving him. Right? Sincerely. And his Guru Maharaj said, lot of, you know, sacrifices you have to do and all that. So he was following nicely. And what happened? If one listens to his Guru nicely and following his instruction, what happens? Not only is prosperity, he progresses in spiritual life. Right? He becomes very powerful spiritually. See, material powerful, you know, you may earn $1 million, correct? It's not a big deal, okay? You work 4 jobs, you know, day and night, you know, morning, you know, whatever night, you sleep for 2 hours, you know, and you can do that, you know. But there's no guarantee that $1 million is going to stay with you, right? It'll go away. But the spiritual assets which you possess, right? No one can take it from you. It's for not only for this life, for the life to come. That is why, you know, one should understand this knowledge, right? Someone can come into my house and take away all the computer and all that. It's gone. Again, I have to work for it. But can someone take my spiritual assets which I've got it? No, you can't take it. So this is how, you know, the Vedic life was revolving around that, right? Strengthening of spiritual knowledge. Not strengthening of dollars. Right? That is how it is progressing. So anyway, Bali Maharaj is very, very, very faithful to his guru, served him well. And because of that, he got unlimited power. You know, he was glowing and all that. Very, very powerful became. And then, what did he think, Bali Maharaj? He said, demigods, right? You gave us a hard time, isn't it? In the metal world, that's what happens, you know. You know, constantly fight, you know, between India and Pakistan, you know. You put a bomb, I put a bomb, you kill 10 people, I kill 20 people. You know, this is what happens. So, in the material level, right? But anyway. So, Bali Maharaj said, okay, come on, let us go to Indrapuri and we'll see, you know, we'll have a fight with Indra. Let us see what it is. Right? Indra lives in Indrapuri, higher dimension, you know. He's not on the earthly planet, he's on the heavenly planet. So, Bali Maharaj could go there. And he went there and he fought. And this time, when Bali Maharaj came with all his, you know, entourage, you know, with all his army, you know, Indra was really scared, you know. He thought, oh, this time I'm gone. Okay? Then, but still, he consulted, you know, his Guru Maharaj. Who is his Guru Maharaj? Indra's Guru Maharaj? Brahaspati. So he consulted him and he said, Guru Maharaj, what do you think? He said, Brahaspati said, no hope for you. Finished. You're gone, right? Because there are some incidents, you know, which we don't go in detail, that, you know, Indra was not very much pleasing his guru. So Indra was losing his power. But on the contrary, demons, because they were faithful to the guru, their power was growing. Okay? Indra was down, going down. Now, then he asked Guru Maharaj, what should I do? Right? He said, the better you leave everything, become invincible. Invincible. You know, you should not be seen. Go as a refuge. You're finished. Leave everything and go. Otherwise, you know, you have to have a heavy, you know, punishment from Bali. So he said, fine, you know, he has to run away. So all the demigods, Indra, Chandra, Surya, everyone ran away, fearing for the demons. So they become so powerful. So that means that Bali Maharaj has taken the upper planetary system, right? Indra's position, and he was ruling very nicely. But he is still a devotee. He is a demon, right? Belongs to the demon race, but he's a devotee, and he's a Mahajan too, right? One who knows all the religious principles. So he was nicely, you know, doing ruling and all that, right? And he was following the orders of his guru. He was doing a lot of sacrifice and all that. Not like here, you know. When someone comes to the position, what we can do, you know, what they do? They do the propaganda, meat eating, intoxication. That's what happens in, you know, gambling centers and all that. But Bali Maharaj was not like that, you know. He was doing all the spiritual, all the activities, sacrifices and all the things. And this was continuing for some time. So basically, imagine, the demigods were almost like refugees, you know, going and hiding. And, you know, they're suffering. Right? Now, looking at their condition, the mother won't be happy, isn't it? When the children, you know, are not good and they don't have a house and all that, you know. When the children don't study, especially, the mothers cannot stand it. Oh, my son is not studying. My daughter is not studying. Right? So in the same way, Aditi, the mother of all the demigods, she thought, fine, my children, they don't have a house, right? They're Indra, Chandra, you know, Surya, all these big demigods. They don't have a house. They are just going around, you know, like a vagabond, you know. What should we do? So, Aditi was really, you know, was wondering what we should do. Then, those days, Vedic system, you know, the wife will consult the husband. But now, the husband has to consult the wife. That's the change. That's the only thing, difference. So, in the Vedic life, the wife was waiting for the husband. Now, Kashyapa Muni was her husband. But what he does is, he goes on the trance couple of months, like a tour. You know, some of the husbands, you know, they go on a tour, you know. They go to Sydney and London and all that for 5 months and come back. Like that, Kashyapa goes on a tour. His tour is transcendental. He goes in Samadhi, one with the Lord, you know, and then come back. Because he will not know what has happened, you know. Completely union with the Lord. It's a very elevated personality, you know, Kashyapa. And then he goes to the trance, you know, and when he's in trance, no one will disturb. Right? But this is also a good thing for the Matajis, you know. They cannot, you know, when the husband is doing something, the Mataji will disturb normally, you know. But in this case, the Mataji is not supposed to disturb, you know. So he goes on trance for, you know, for a long period of time. And then Aditi was waiting. Okay, you finish your trance, I'll come back. Then once when he came back, he was thinking, why the house is like that? Right? Why people are, you know, that is full of lamentation, you know. You know, we could see that, and he could see also Aditi, you know, face was very morose and all that. Then he inquired, what's wrong with you? What's happening? Then Aditi said, see, how I can be happy when my children are suffering? Please do something about it. So, Kashyapa Muni suggested, you should do payovrata, ceremony, sacrifice for the Lord. Complete dedication to the... Can you make the noise? So he said, payovrata sacrifice, which means complete dedication onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Fixedness. Fixed on the Lord. Lord's, you know, service. You should be fixed. Try that, you know, for 12 days. So something like, we have the continuous kirtan for 12 days. Imagine, only chanting. And prasadam also. Because we can't hold it, right? Chanting prasadam. Go eat and come and go take prasadam, take bath, you know, like that. 12 days. Fixed. Like that. So, it was going on, right? She was very much fixed and 12 days of sacrifice was going on. Aditi was doing it very sincerely. She was doing for the benefit of her children. So, obviously, she was putting in more effort. Okay? Obviously. And then what happened? She became very successful and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, right? He came in front of Aditi, right? And Aditi, you know, she was overwhelmed actually, overwhelmed. You know, she was crying in tears. And the Lord said, Aditi, I know what you're thinking. Don't worry. Your desire is to give a proper residence to your children, right? I will take care of that. Don't you worry, you know. So what happened? He disappeared. The Lord disappeared. And the next minute, he appeared in the heart of Kashyapa Muni. The Lord is already in our hearts. We don't perceive him, right? So Krishna is already present as Paramatma in everyone's heart, right? One has to perceive that, right? But what we do is we forget Krishna and we search for external things. That is our problem, right? Krishna is already there in the heart, right? But the mind wants external thing. Therefore, Krishna says, control your mind. Because the mind is always external to the soul. So it wants sense object outside of the soul. But Krishna says, you are the soul. You want only me. That's a phenomenon. Anyway, so the Lord disappeared and appeared in as Bhagavan into Kashyapa's heart. And through the union, the Lord is transferred. This is a very, very high level. You know, you cannot understand that. And then Aditi got the Supreme Lord as her son, and the Lord was born. And that day is Dwadesi, in the month of Shravan, this month, Dwadesi, Lord was born. When he was born, he had the 400 form as Narayana, very opulent, you know, like Vishnu, born in Narayana, born. And then the Lord changed the form to a Vaman, dwarf Brahmana, small Brahmana, like a small kid, you know, with very opulent, very, very beautiful, you know, and all that. Now, looking at that, the demigods were very happy, right? Oh, the Lord has come, you know, you're going to do something for us. So each of the demigods, now the demigods have become his, their elder brother, right? So Ramanadev is like elder brother, you know, demigods are all younger brothers. So all the brothers, they gave some gifts to Vamandev. So if you see, you know, Vamandev is wearing a deer skin, you know, he's having a danda, umbrella, kamandalu. I think Brahma gave kamandalu, things like that, you know. Indra gave umbrella, like that, you know. So many paraphernalia was given to the Lord. And then what happened? The Lord was marching towards Bali Maharaj sacrificial area. Bali Maharaj is always doing sacrifice, right? He has already finished 100 Ashwamedha Yagna. Okay? Now, Bali Maharaj, once in those times, right, when someone does 100 Ashwamedha Yagnas at that time, then one can occupy Indra's position. Right? He has almost finished it. It's a matter of, you know, like you apply for a job, you went for the interview, two interviews over, it's just you're waiting for the appointment order. Right? It is like that. He's waiting for the appointment order to occupy Indra's position, you know, officially, you know. And then, at that time, what happened? Vamanadeva was walking into the sacrificial arena in the bank of Narmada. When Vamanadeva appeared, everyone knew that, yes, he is the Supreme Lord, because a lot of effulgence coming from him. And he's very, very powerful. So he's a Supreme Lord himself, you know. And obviously, Bali Maharaj offered him a place, seat, you know, and he gave good reception to the Lord. And then he asked, yes, you are a Brahmana. See, when those days when a Brahmana comes, they will try to give charity to him. Right? So, Bali Maharaj inquired, what can I give you? You are a Brahmana. Because I've got wealth, I've got money, you know, jewels, everything, whatever you want, you give, you know. Whatever you want, you ask, I'll give it to you. Then Vamanadev said, I know that you are rich, but I want only 3 pieces of land. 3 steps of land. That's it. Simple. He said, why only 3 steps? Ask more. He said, no. 3 steps is more than enough for me. It's okay. Then Bali Maharaj committed. Okay. Then Bali Maharaj Guru, Sukracharya, immediately said, called him, why did you commit? He's Supreme Lord Vishnu. You should not commit. He will take away all your money. Right? You should not commit. You know? Then he said, I've already committed. You know, I said I'll give him, you know. Don't worry. There are some emergency cases. You know, there is, because, see, if you know the Shastra, this is a problem. People try to use, you know, you don't have Krishna conscious. You got only one knowledge, you know. They'll say, I'll do this sacrifice for this. I'll do this sacrifice, you know, for, you know, getting a job or something, you know. I was told once, you know, I was inquiring about this job and all that, you know. Someone was saying that, of course, on a material level, if one loses a job, if anyone lost a job recently, not a good thing to ask anyway. But if you lose a job, it's good in one sense, you know. At least you try, for devotees I'm saying, you know, do you try to chant more and all that, you know. So losing a job is good in one way. Anyway, if they don't want to disclose now, you can disclose it later on. Because someone feels shy, you know. They say you should not ask two things. One is, a woman, you should not ask her age. And a man, you should not ask how much money is it getting. Or even losing a job. Because when he loses a job, he doesn't get any money. So, I was told, once I was inquiring, losing a job and all that, what is this happening? What is the impact and all that, the material level? Then one of the guys said, he's, you know, like religious guy, you know, not Krishna conscious, religious. He said, simple, do you have a veterinary doctors or person who's doing treatment to the animals, you know? I said, yes, in Australia we have got in a lot of, you know. They said, you have to feed the animals. You have to give, like, you go, you know how there is a center for the, veterinary centers for the cats and dogs and all that. So you have to give donation to them, then you get a job. I know, really, I was told, you know, probably, you know, someone can explore into that if you get time after chanting, that, you know, this is one of the things I believe, you know. So giving animals and all that, then you'll retain your job, something like that, you know. But don't try that. But the best way is chant Hare Krishna Mantra. Then you get spiritual and material benefit also. Both you will get. Okay? Now, so Sukracharya, he knows the Vedic system, okay? And interpreted. Oh, he said, in the case of emergency, you can do like this. You know, you can tell a lie. Like, for example, normally what happens, in a mundane level, when the child is sick, right, the mother tries to cheat the child by putting the medicine, a bitter medicine, into a sweet, you know, like a jamun or something, right? Did you guys have that experience? Your mother has cheated you, right? How many times? Many times. See? He's a victim. So what happens, the mother, right, the children, they don't like to take bitter medicines when you are sick, life-threatening infections, whatever may be. Now at that time they put some medicine into the sweet and clamophage, you know, and then put it, and so the child will take it off and it will be cured. But according to the child, you know, it's taking sweet, but there is a medicine inside. The child might even ask, is mommy, is there any medicine there? They don't know medicine. The mother may tell a lie. But Sukracharya was trying to say, this is an emergency situation. Like that, you say that you didn't know, you know, and then come out. Come out of the contract. Don't sign the contract. Don't sign the job. You know, the other person is giving you more money. You know, sometimes it happens. They immediately, what we do, we refuse and we go to other job because they're paying more money. But Bali Maharaj is not like that. He's very truthful, right? So he said, no, I am not going to go back and all that. Then he was thinking, he was contemplating. See, Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan, okay? He was contemplating in the mind. He was thinking, yes, what is the role of a guru? What is the role of a guru? A guru is supposed to teach us about Krishna or Vishnu. And he's supposed to bring us closer to Krishna. But this guru is telling not to come closer and not to offer anything to Vishnu. That means he is not a guru. I'll reject him. See? A guru, if he is not favorable to Krishna conscious, if he not takes you closer to Krishna conscious, he is not a guru. So he rejected his guru. And he accepted Lord Vishnu. He said, yes, I am going to give you 3 steps of land. Take whatever you want. You know what the Lord did? Immediately manifested his universal form. Right? On the first step, in one step, he covered all the Bhuloka, lower planetary system. With the second step, with his left, he covered the upper planetary system. Right? Bali Maharaj is the king of the demons. And he has conquered all the lower, upper planetary systems. All he has taken, Lord, with the one leg, lower, other leg, upper, everything finished. Then the Lord said, where is the third step? You know, Where is the third step? Now seeing this, Garuda was thinking, what is this? This person has committed to my Lord. See, Garuda, the devotees are always, you know, popping up, you know. Garuda was thinking, this man, this person has committed three steps to my Lord. But he's given only two steps. He's not truthful. But he claims himself to be truthful. So he tied him up like a prisoner. Immediately Garuda tied him up. Now, a king of the demons who owns everything, right? In upper, lower planetary system, he has become like a beggar and he is being tied up. He's like a prisoner, right? And Krishna likes to play with his devotees, right? And he went to Vaman Dev nicely, he went to Bali Maharaj and he said, where is my third step? Are you going to give me? Then Bali Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, he said, Lord, I don't have anything now. You have taken everything. Okay? The only thing I've got is my life, my body and my life. That's the only thing I can give you. Now, if you want, you take that. That's the one step I've got. So, the Lord wants to test his devotees. So what happened was the Lord was thinking, okay, you are offering yourself. Like, he has completely offered himself, Bali Maharaj, to the Lord. So the Lord thought, okay. Now because, see, the Lord is not like that, you know. He's sitting on his throne and, you know, ordering people. You do good things, I'll give you. Bad things, I'll punish you. Krishna is not like that. He reciprocates with the person. He's a person, transcendental person, unlimited person, unlimitedly powerful person. Right? As Srila Prabhupada points out, who is Krishna? In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada very humorously was saying, you know, who is Krishna? Krishna is a supreme transcendental autocrat. You know the meaning of that? He's supreme, okay? There is no one equal or greater than him. Completely transcendental, pure. An autocrat means whatever he wants only will happen. Because he is powerful. And he's not in a bad sense, okay? So, if you take only that autocracy, you know, people may think, oh, you know, he's very bad like that. No, he reciprocates his devotee. So, what Lord was thinking is, fine, I will send you down because of the purpose that Aditi has called me, okay? And he wants all the places for the children, right? The planets for the children, like Indra, Chandra, Surya and all that. I have to give them, restore them, one. And two, because you have given yourself, you are completely surrendered to me. This is what Krishna is testing, right? What is the use of the material things, right? You may give and take and come, it will go. But this is, you have given yourself to me, and for that, I will reward you with Sutala planet, which is in the lower planetary system. So the Lord has already decided, okay, I will give you the Sutala planet, which is more powerful than Indra's planet. One. Not only that, because you have surrendered yourself, I also want to serve you, so I'll become a doorkeeper. Can you imagine this? Just imagine all of you for a sec, 1 second. Doorkeeper means this is a very low job. Right? Opening the door, and who would like to be the doorkeeper? Our temple. You are a devotee, that's okay. If someone says, and open the door, oh, open the door. I want to be in the altar, you know. Brahmana. Doorkeeper for the Lord has become. This is his Bhakta Vatsala. That is how Krishna reciprocates the devotees. Right? So, the Lord said, now seeing that, Prahlad Maharaj is very happy. After all, who is Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj is a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So, Prahlad Maharaj has got a son whose name is Virochana. Virochana's son is Bali Maharaj. So, his grandfather was quite happy. Oh, grandson, he has up to the mark. Right? He has exactly did what that I wanted him to do. So, he was very much pleased. He blessed him. He said, I will also come with Bali Maharaj. I will stay with him. So, Prahlad Maharaj is gone. Bali Maharaj is then. The Lord is also as a doorkeeper. They are all in Sutala planet. So we can also go to either Sutala or Goloka, whichever planet we want. Right? The Lord is there. Doesn't matter. So this is how the Lord reciprocates. Right? Very, 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 very important. So this is what is about Bali Maharaj, you know, story. It's a very, very loving exchange, you know, between Lord and his devotees. So people may think, you know, that the Lord is not reciprocating. But we see a very clear example that, you know, because he gave himself, the Lord also gave himself. Right? How can, you know, Lord give himself, become a doorkeeper, you know? You can't even. This is, you know, the lowest job actually, you know. And for his devotee, then the Lord enjoys it. This is how Krishna reciprocates with the devotees. Now, so that completes the Bali Maharaj story, or Vamanadev appearance, you know, appearance of Vamanadev. But actually, if you see, you know, in a sense, you know, Bali Maharaj only, because Krishna likes to please his devotees, right? Like he came as a form of Krishna, the original avatar, to please the Vrajagopis. Ramachandra to please devotees. Here also, Vamanadev is to please his devotee, Bali Maharaj. And Narasingha Bhagavan is to please his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord basically comes to please his devotees, to engage in a loving devotion service. Right? Okay. Now next comes another important personality. That is Sri Jiva Goswami appearance. Right? Now what I thought is, you can get a picture of Jiva Goswami, life sketch, right? By reading books. But we would have discussed this many times. Right? What I thought is, I'll just give a very small prelude, or just a small introduction about Jiva Goswami's Sat Sandarbha. He has given a very, very, he has written a very, very important book known as Sat Sandarbha. Okay? So I thought I'll give a, you know, a quick prelude. You know, and we will see how powerful his books are, you know, so that that can glorify, because his teachings or his books are non-different from him, you know, Jiva Goswami. So by glorifying Sat Sandarbha, what he has written, what is the content of the book, then we know how powerful Jiva Goswami is. Okay? Right? Now quickly to understand, now Jiva Goswami, just to see how he's connected to the six Goswamis. Can you get me nectar of devotion, please? So, Jiva Goswami, you know how there is Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Okay, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. There is one more younger brother. His name is Anupama. Anupama has got a son. He is Jiva Goswami. So, in other words, Jiva Goswami is a cousin to Sanatana and Rupa Goswami.
Nephew.
Now, it's a good thing to just because Jiva Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, just read this, what you call a small verse to glorify the six Goswamis. I'll read that, then you can read that.
Nana Shastra Vikaranaika Nipunau Sadharma Samstapakau Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Sadharma Samstapakau Lokanamitakarinau tribhuvane manyau sharanakarau Lokanamitakarinau tribhuvane manyau sharanakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda bhajane nandena mattalikau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajane Nandena Mattalikau Vande Rupa Sanatanau Raghu Yugau Sri Jiva Gopalakau Vande Rupa Sanatanau Raghu Yugau Sri Jiva Gopalakau
Now this is a translation effectively. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principle for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So Jiva Goswami's one of the important work is Satsandarbha, right? Very, very important book. Now, Sat means six. Sandarbha means weaving, okay? When you weave two threads, you get a cloth. And when you weave two cloths, you get a design, right? So this is like he is weaving six of his Sandarbha, six things he's weaving to get a big picture, right? Which is known as Satsandarbha. We're going to see what it is. Now, the subject matter of Satsandarbha is Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Right? And the Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't need any substantiation. Like, you need not have to add any facts and figures to make it big or to make it powerful. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam itself is revelations. You know what is revelation? The moment you take Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and you study, the Lord in the heart appears and he increases the knowledge. So this is a powerful of all the books written by our acharyas. Right? It is a revelation. It automatically, see, when you read, you know. Yes, there is no doubt. All will be, you know, gone. So that is how it works, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Satsandarbha, the subject matter itself is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of knowledge and rasa. Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Now, Jiva Goswami wants to establish, right, two points by writing Satsandarbha. What does he want to achieve? He wants to make sure that his work is systematic. Approach. He wants a very systematic approach by giving, you know, references and all that, like in the Nectar of Devotion, right? How there's a reference. Because slowly he's building up. Like, for example, you know, when we have to go to the university, you know, you have to go to grade 1, grade 2, you know, high school, primary school, high school, like that. So systematically he wants it. Because then only one can become a devotee of Krishna. Because in this Kali Yuga, right, he knows that. This is not easy, you know, right? Logically, one can become a devotee, you know, and then take up the process. And once they take up the process, then they release it. So this is how he wants it. So systematic approach is built in. And the other one is he wants a very comprehensive. He is very not narrow in his approach, very comprehensive, so that everyone can benefit that. His work, the Jiva Goswami work, is not only for the devotee audience. It's for the general mass of people. Unlike Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami's work is only for a particular sectarian. Like, you should become a devotee and then you start practicing, then you read Nectar of Devotion. A man on the street, he will not read Nectar of Devotion. Right? But Jiva Goswami is bent, it's made in such a way that it's not only applicable for the devotee circle, but also for a general mass of people. That's why he has built it. Okay? He has made it like that. Now, this Satsandarbha means there are six, okay, six in number, Sandarbha, okay, weaving or, you know, joining. Now, the first one is Tattva. The name is Tattva Sandarbha. The second one is Bhagavata Sandarbha. The third one is Paramatma Sandarbha. The fourth one is Krishna Sandarbha. The fifth one is Bhakti Sandarbha. And the sixth one is Preeti Sandarbha. Remember six one? What are they? The first one is Tattva Sandarbha. The second one is Bhagavata Sandarbha. The third one is Paramatma Sandarbha. The fourth one is Krishna Sandarbha. The fifth one is Bhakti. And the sixth one is Preeti. Now the first four, right, presents the Sambandha Gyan. What is Samatha Gyan? Who you are? Who is God? What are the material things? How this, there is a relationship among them. Right? You should know who you are, right? When you are there, you identify as Australian citizen or a permanent resident of Australia. You are identifying with the body. In the same way, you are a soul, correct? We are jiva, we are embodied, right? Which means we have got a body and a soul. For the body, you are identifying an Australian citizen. For the soul, permanent. Jivare Sorupoi, Krishna Renityada. You are a servant of Krishna. So you are identifying the soul. Okay? So, so the first one is Tattva, and the second one is Paramatma. What I was saying is all the four, right? The first four talks about Sambandha Gyan. Who you are, who Krishna is, and what is the material creation, and how there is a relationship among them. The fifth one is talking about, the fifth Sandarbha is talking about Abhideya. The process. What is the process? You are there, you are a person, Krishna is there, he is completely spiritual on the spiritual platform. Here you are in a conditioned soul, you are completely controlled by the material energy. Okay? There are two opposites, correct? One has to understand that. Come to senses, understand the personality. Krishna is there, who is above the three modes, completely transcendental. There is no tinge of materialism in Krishna. Okay? He is there in that level. And we are there suffering the three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature constantly harasses you, right? Birth, death, old age, disease. And you are trying to understand the Supreme Personality. It's impossible to understand. Even the material level, right? Ordinary person cannot become a CEO. He has to go through the steps. So how do you understand? How do you comprehend? How do you understand? So this is why Jiva Goswami has made this elaborate study. Okay? And so the fifth one, Sandarbha, talks about the Abhideya, the process, how a tiny living entity was completely controlled by the three modes of material nature. We are acting on the body, right? Anyone acting on the soul here? No. You are acting on the body. So we are controlled by the three modes. Now how can one understand the supreme authority who is a lord of the lords? Right? So there is a process. You have to go to the university to study material science. You have to come here to study spiritual science, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is about the fifth one. And the sixth one is, after you do the process, what is a prayojana? What is a result? The result is prema. What? Krishna's love. To get Krishna's love. To love him. Krishna's pleasure. Krishna's pleasure is important, not your pleasure any longer. So that is a stage. So all these Goswamis have completely voluntarily given their identity. I don't want this material identity, which is coming in between me and Krishna. Look at their consciousness. That's why we are discussing that. You understand that? We are in a material conscious, right? Anything, you know, we say is, today I'm feeling hungry, so I will take prasadam. I want to be happy, so I serve Krishna. I want to serve my guru, so I chant my rounds, like that. But our consciousness is not like that. Right? It is on the material level. But the Goswamis has voluntarily given up their material existence, which means the material existence gives a separate, the material life, it gives a separate existence. Yet they're voluntarily given up. We don't want to accept that. We want only Krishna service. This is a high consciousness, pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So that is why we are talking about them. So this is about Preeti, the love of Krishna. Okay? Now, Jiva Goswami in his Satsandarbha, he uses sources from three places. Right? The first one he's using is Ramanujacharya's Sri Bhashya. Right? Not to be undermined, Ramanujacharya's work. Okay? He's none other than Ananta Shesh, reincarnation Ananta Shesh. So he's not an ordinary person. As much as Srila Prabhupada is so dear to us, and Ramanujacharya is very dear to the Sri Sampradaya, and he's Ananta Shesh, you know, the Lord is resting on him, and he has come as, you know, Ramanujacharya. So very big personality. So Jiva Goswami understood that. Yes. So his work, his sources of information, see, is very, very authentic, okay? He's taking it from Ramanujacharya. Why is he taking from Ramanujacharya? He is taking for the content and the ideas. Because Ramanujacharya has got as many as 17 gurus. One for the spiritual, one for the logic, one for the nyaya, and one for the discussions. 17 gurus he has, Ramanujacharya. So he took the content from Ramanujacharya. Then Madhavacharya, he's referring a quote from Madhavacharya. Why? Because at the time of Jiva Goswami, he says that there was extinct. Srimad Bhagavatam was extinct, basically, And he is very much grateful to Bhatta. He says in his scripture that I'm very grateful to one Bhatta from South India. He means that Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Because Gopala Bhatta Goswami, as we know, he belongs to Sri Sampradaya. And he was in the Ramanujacharya line. And he is the son of Venkata Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta is nothing but who... Venkata Bhatta is a head puja of Sri Rangam temple. Right? Like our Bhakti Man, head puja. So he's a head puja of Sri Rangam temple. And Gopala Bhatta Goswami is his son. He's following Ramanujacharya Sampradaya. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and stayed in the house. It's not easy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming and staying in your house. Right? That's why he stayed. And then Jiva Goswami, he gives a lot of credit to Ramanujacharya's, he talks very highly of Ramanujacharya's Sri Bhashya. And he takes reference also from that. So he uses that, what I was saying is, yes, at that time, the Bhagavatam was extinct. Okay, now Gopala Bhatta Goswami is the one who somehow, got that Bhagavatam, and through his manuscript, Jiva Goswami was able to do. But what has happened was, the manuscript was somehow the pages are lost, and people have misinterpreted. For example, the first chapter, imagine the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita coming on the second chapter. Second chapter is moved on to 18th chapter. How it will be? So Jiva Goswami has got a big job. He went again and again to make sure that this should be the first, this should be the second. So it takes a lot of time for him. Right? He said that he went through a lot of, going backwards and forwards and putting them in a smooth way so that everyone understands it clearly. He has put a lot of time into that. And he says that he has done like that. Okay? And then, also, some of the books, right? For example, scriptures were extinct also at that time. So, Jiva Goswami says that for where he has seen the reference, right? Through his eyes, he has entered it. But where he cannot cite the reference, for example, the book may be lost or some of the pages of the books may be missing. At that time, he has taken Madhavacharya quotation as authentic. That was the power of Madhavacharya. Right? So there is no substantiator needed, but still he has put Madhavacharya quotation as a quote to fill up the gaps. Because, for example, Garuda Purana is extinct now. And Garuda Purana is very important. That's why people are doing a lot of sins. Garuda Purana tells you, if you do eat meat, you go and suffer there. If you talk to this kind of, if you do some illicit activity, you suffer there. If you steal something, your hand will be cut off in the hellish planet. No one knows that. Because Kali Yuga, very happily, Kali takes away Garuda Purana. So people are thinking, I can eat meat and do anything. So he's extinct now. So like that sources he's referring from Madhavacharya. Jiva Goswami is referring. And then the third referent or quote is referring is Sridhara Swami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants all his followers to refer to Sridhara Swami. So it's very definite in his approach that he puts a verse and then he takes commentary from Sridhara Swami and then he writes his own commentary. Very, very powerful, Sridhara Swami. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he doesn't see Sridhara Swami, he is not very much inclined. That is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's impression is. Now, what does he want to achieve? What do Jiva Goswami wants to achieve through Satsandarbha? He wants to achieve two things. Right? What does he want to achieve? He wants to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu philosophy is the highest. Obviously, it's highest. There is no one else greater than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, our Sankirtan movement. One. And then, he wants to prove that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest source of knowledge. Right? He wants to prove that because the subject matter of Satsandarbha is Srimad Bhagavatam. So what he has done is, in his book, you know, if you see throughout, it's a two-step process. He reveals that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest philosophy and Srimad Bhagavatam teaches Mahaprabhu philosophy. So through that, he proves that Mahaprabhu principle is the highest. You understand? His approach is two-step. One is to prove that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest source of knowledge. And then Srimad Bhagavatam teaches Mahaprabhu philosophy. Through that is deriving the fact that Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu preaching is the highest. Right? Through that he proves that. That is how he does it. And also he made it a point, right, to explain in the first three satsandarbhas, which is Tattva, Bhagavata and Paramatma, he wants to prove the fact that everything is Lord's energy. So his approach is that everyone has to come through the approach, not convincing people of the rasas. See, the rasa is a higher level, right? When you talk to some people about the rasa, one may be misguided. So he's talking only about the Lord's energies, Lord's antaranga shakti, bhagiranga shakti, internal potency of the Lord, external potency of the Lord, and you know how the living entities are marginal potency. So he's talking about the energy such that people is not drifted away, at the same time explaining the difference between body and soul, like that. You know what I mean? So these are the six sandarbhas he's written. I'm just giving a prelude so that we'll at least talk about him. And the whole point in writing that is he wants to prove Mahaprabhu philosophy is the highest and Srimad Bhagavatam is the only source of knowledge. That's what he wants to prove. Alright. Okay. So we will stop here because it's a more philosophical thing, you know. So, you know, it may just go over your mind. But still, you know, it's one of the very important work of Jiva Goswami. So I thought at least I'll take an opportunity, you know, to talk about Jiva Goswami because his work is non-different from him. Like as we see that Srila Prabhupada book is non-different from him. Okay, thank you very much. We'll stop here. Any quick question? Because already we have time up. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. Didn't you expect on the process that
One second, Prabhu. Yes. One second. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the class. How important is it to read the books from the 6 plus 1? Because Prabhupada has read so much. And once I hear that, we should at least read all Prabhupada's books 5 times. So I don't know how important is it.
Very good question he has asked. This is a very good question. The question is, how important for us to read, you know, books of other types, you know, other than Srila Prabhupada books, correct? He's already reading Srila Prabhupada books. Like when I mentioned about Sat Goswami, Sat Sandarbha, one may be inclined, oh, I want to read that. When we talk about something else, you may think, I would like to read that. How important is it? Now, for us, you know, we are following Srila Prabhupada, no? ISKCON, founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. So we should not jump over. For us, the main thing is Srila Prabhupada books. But because today is an opportunity to talk about Jiva Goswami, and Prabhupada will be very happy to allow me to talk about Jiva Goswami, right? So that is why I took an opportunity. But it's nice if you got extra time, you can go and read, nothing wrong. But for us, our line of approach is Srila Prabhupada books. You know? It's more than enough. You don't want it. For example, one second. Just to give you an idea, what are the books we have got? See, there is one thing which is known as Ujjwali Neelamani. Ujjwali Neelamani, which is the next book to Nectar of Devotion. I even don't know much about Nectar of Devotion. Just some bits and pieces, right? The next book, because in the Satsandarbha, in the... just to change... In the Bhakti Sandarbha, he's talking about only the eastern side of Nectar of Devotion. You know, Nectar of Devotion is an ocean, right? There is north, south, east, west. So this Bhakti is talking about the eastern side. And in the Preeti, the last Sandarbha, it talks about the other three oceans and also Ujjwala Neelamani, which is the next book to Nectar of Devotion. Do we have the time to read all that? No, don't. So Nectar of Instruction segment. And Kali Yuga, you know, our brains, you know, I tell you, our mind and all that. Whatever we study, we tend to forget. So whatever important things we give, you know, but because an opportunity, I told it. But our line of approach should be Srila Prabhupada books, strictly. Even if it's a small book, that's good. Because he is a founder acharya. He has given us everything. We do not have to jump over. Not needed. And the Goswami's level is, I tell you, if we cannot even comprehend Srila Prabhupada's level. You know what I mean? And they are on level with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. They can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. You know what I mean? I mean, it's too much. It's something like an ant trying to understand Mount Everest. The ant, first of all, doesn't know where it is. It has to find out what is Mount Everest and understand what is Mount Everest. This is our position, you know. Unfortunately. Correct. Correct. So, Baladev Vidya Bhushan. See, Prabhupada commentary. And that interesting, that reminds me of one quick note, you know. See, our Satsandarbha, written by Jiva Goswami, is so enchanting that what happened? Baladev Vidya Bhushan, right? He is the one, Srila Prabhupada writes, refers a commentary of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita book. Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he refers and he written our Bhagavad Gita. Now, Baladev Vidya Bhushan was originally from Madhava Sampradaya. Right? He was so dynamic and academic and very intelligent. Now, all this Gaudiya Sampradaya, Madhava Sampradaya, they thought we have to attract Baladev. So what they give is, they presented him with Satsandarbha. After reading Satsandarbha, Baladev Vidya Bhushan switched. Like in India, you know, you've got a Congressi and Janata Dal, you know. People from Congress side to move to Janata Dal and Janata Dal to this thing, you know. Like that, Baladev Vidya Bhushan moved from Madhavacharya to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Just by reading Satsandarbha. I'm just saying. So thanks, Mataji. So like that, it's very powerful. Our Acharya's comment is there, you know, and Srila Prabhupada has referred it. So it's more than enough, not needed. I just wanted to give a prelude. I'm not even giving an overview. It's just a prelude means just like, you know, beginning. I can't understand. I can't understand. Just a prelude. That whatever I prepared, I forgot most of them. You know, so, what's the question? Yes, Prabhu. Quickly, Prabhu. You ask a question.
Can you talk about the process that is described in the Satsangha?
The process is same, Prabhu. The process is bhakti. Where the bhakti is the largest. It's the process of re-establishing our lost relationship with Krishna. See, what has happened is in the material world, we have forgotten Krishna. Our relationship is only with the bodies. I know my husband because I'm married to him. I know my child because I got through him. Everything based on flesh and blood. You understand, no? My mother I know because flesh and blood. She gave me this flesh and blood, so I know my mother. My grandfather, my children, my father, my sister, cousin, brother, all flesh and blood. But there is something beyond flesh and blood, which is the jiva, which is the soul itself. And that soul has got an eternal relationship. Whether you are born as a cat and a dog or a human, still you are a soul. You've got a connection with Krishna. Krishna doesn't say you are a cat. No. But still he makes arrangement to give them food and all that. So the soul is internally connected to Krishna, regardless of the species. Right? So Abhidaya is, so there are three things. Even Bhagavad Gita is also talking about. One is Sandarbha, Sammandha, Sammandha Gyan. Second one is Abhideya, and the third one is Prayojana. Sammandha is who you are, what is the material energy doing to you, and who is the supreme authority, you should know. And Abhideya is a process of reconnecting to him through the process of bhakti. And bhakti is the only process that will work in Kali Yuga. No other process will work. Astanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga. First of all, there's no forest. And in the forest, there is more. So, it will not work. So, Bhakti Yoga is the best one. And Prayojana is you get love of God. That means, what do you want? You know? You live with Krishna eternally. That is the achievement. You know? You don't have to come back and go for a job and take care of your children. And the children will be very nice there also. You know? Here, the children will misbehave. The mother and father will say, don't do that. They will say, they will do it. This Kali Yuga children, what can you? Prabhu is there already, Nitya Siddhas, you know. For us, I have come into the world because of my karma. I put into the body, you know. I have to do. But Jiva goes, they can, you know, they are all, they are situated the spiritual energy. We are situated the material energy. So they can, Jiva Goswami can be, you know, anywhere. He can be with Krishna at the same time as Jiva Goswami. We cannot come. Achinta Veda, Veda Tattva.
He got special mercy from Nityananda Prabhu, putting him all around 9 islands before going to Ireland.
No, that is as a pastime, no, but they are Nitya Siddhas, you know. They are not contaminated. You know, they just come down, do the job and go back. When we come down, we are not contaminated. Three modes. Krishna says, three modes contaminated. So purity, what is consciousness is, Krishna consciousness purifies oneself. The only purification is through Krishna consciousness. The material nature contaminates, you know. The mind is material nature, that contaminates. Mind is nothing but a container. Keep on filling rubbish only. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you guys. And I don't want any question from you guys. From this small, because I've been hearing that you are so, you know, so intelligent question that the speaker sometimes, you know, is bewildered. So I don't take any question from you. Thank you. This is like the bewilderment of Krishna's, Brahma's son. You know that? Brahma's own children asked a question to Brahma and Brahma could not answer. So we'll stop here. Hare. And if you want more about it, I'm not going to say, read 11th canto. Brahma's own children bewildered Brahma asking a question and Brahma has to worship Krishna and got an answer and gave it to the child. So, I am not that level. Sorry. Hare Krishna.